everybody. This meeting of the Arts Education Committee will welcome to order. Today is Wednesday, February 23rd, at the time is 3:34. In the Betty Davis Committee room in the Austin Capitol Museum, members of that education class and art leader chair representative Andy Sherman. Looks like Representative Greg Rock is present, and Representative Rod Dowell, Representative Mike Brooks, Representative Tiffany Zelkowski, and myself, co-chair Representative Mary Drummond. Representative Hopkins is in the building, right down the hall with Bill Seitz presenting, and he will be in and out. We have a forum to conduct business before we begin. I'd like to remind everyone to please silence your cell phones. And today our remote recording secretary is Sophia Penny, and I apologize, I didn't get our element of moderator's name. Lydia Klein, thank you. Thank you both for your help getting this meeting in order. And Representative Mark Hopkins has just joined us. I am going to remove my mask because I'm sick and tired of it. If anybody feels uncomfortable with their mask, I'm going to put on a little bit of a voice in the room. You are welcome to wear your mask if you so choose. This afternoon, we have 5 bills on the calendar, the first of which is Senator Baggage's SB 10, a framework distribution for essential worker. We first heard this bill on February 9th and again on February 14th, where it was amended to update the guidelines in the legislation. We received no further amendments by Monday's noon deadline, and that brings the bill before us. Representative Story Banner, motion.
I move CF 10 finance. AM version 32-LS0127-9A from the committee as amended with individual recommendations and attached detailed notes.
Is there an objection? No objection. Seeing no objection, CS for SB 10 passes through committee. We need to take a brief break to sign the paperwork on the call that needs. Okay, we're back on the record. That was record time. I think we got SB 20 out of here in less than 2 minutes. Next up, we have Senator Stevens' SB 22 and SB 10. So, next up, we have Senator Stevens' SB 20 out of state teacher rest property. We first signed this bill on February 16th, where we went over the bill and took advantage of public testimony. We received a mandate by the noon Monday deadline, which required extra desks.
So I ended up on the board breaking. my concerns about being involved in the teachers at their schools and need to educate our kids better.
Thank you, Representative Hoffman. I agree with my objection. Are there any other objections? Representative Brooks, go ahead.
Yes, not that we much about teachers or teachers, but we're regular, seems redundant to me and other sergeants or candidates who decide non certified instructors, but does it get enough to say they're there?
Thank you for your good and staff centers and administrative care. I think this was the result of this report's now as alternative pathways and states where the sorts of market level touched upon non-conditioning needs to be attention significantly. And so this is both some appropriate volume reduced that likelihood of chances of being non-traditional alternative pathways in order to make shortcuts to get certificates. Yeah, this is also in practice right now with the department, and we have this report on whether or not I can confirm this.
Ms. Meredith, can you hear us?
Yeah, this is Senator Meredith with the Department of Education, rising with strategic certification from the state. The question about the word regular alternative is the correct practice. Staff left to make any closing remarks now that the bill has been amended.
I'm closing remarks on my point, but I'm not sure.
Thank you very much, Senator. I appreciate your presence. All right, that brings the bill before us, Representative Story. May I have a motion?
I move, please substitute Senate Bill 20, finance version 32-0S0. Next up, we have Representative McCarty's Southfield Rally and Permanent Secondary and Trade School. We first and last heard this bill under the life of 2021 So I will invite the bill sponsor to give us an update before we move on to invited and public testimony.
So that we provide public secondary high school students 14 years at the age of old opportunity to participate in current enrollment, vocational education training, and on-the-job training experience programs with industry standard instruction and certification. For the past several years, high school students throughout the state have had the opportunity to advance their education for goals while still attending public high schools and college through a dual enrollment. However, students planning for vocational or trade careers have been made to wait until graduation to actively pursue training in their desired field. These people may bring vocational trade education and training opportunities with and increase gender certification and workforce availability. To ensure that students are receiving the best training, concurrent vocational education instructors must possess a valid instructor certificate and an industry standard master's skill certification or equivalent. Additionally, any trade program that contracts with the school district must provide the same entire program instruction meets industry standards for apprenticeship, journeyman, or equivalent certification based on an industry accredited national, regional, or programmatic instruction standards. The sponsor of this bill recognizes that there are many ways of learning. Many hands-on learners who struggle in their traditional classroom have found great success in vocational training programs. Program applicants will not be selected based on merit, whether random drawing or lottery, to give each student a fair and equal opportunity. These people will improve high school attendance, raise graduation rate due to students with educational purpose, and produce a strong global workforce with industry skilled work ethics and experience. Since I had the opportunity to come and share this with you last year, that we've seen a tremendous need of workforce in our state. And we have many businesses in the trade that are crying out for workforce. And we have students in our secondary education, and the bill there was presented by sixth grade and faster now in seventh grade, and student bill being in secondary education. And we have opportunity coming very soon from federal monies to remove the smokes from the street. And we'll have this one of many here. The same kind of workforce is taking that. Now, I would deny that the people can't say, but it's happening. And we need to have the workforce. And this provides an opportunity for kids to actually get real certification while they're in high school and experience so that when they are graduating, even before they graduate, they're making good money and contributing to our workforce. Another guy who went into this is work ethics. And we've seen that our students have taught things early in life that they learn that work ethics, that they are a viable individual in the workforce rather than being laid off or terminated because of that work ethics. That seems to be an ongoing challenge that we have today. And so this can possibly solve that issue as well. So I welcome the questions, and we'll have quite a few people in the class tonight.
Any questions on this slide?
Thank you, Chair.
What that's referring to is that, let's say you have a trade program that has a lot of students on that unit. Maybe we'll just make up something that is a hairdresser's. Okay? And so instead of it being picked by a merit type thing, then everyone has an equal opportunity to get it by the lottery type through whatever.
Opportunities and sort of requirement. Otherwise, I don't think that you would want to select candidates by merit.
The chair was that one of the things that I've heard is maybe someone gets in because they know someone, or they have some type of preferential taste there, and so other people do not get into those classes and those trades because they don't know someone, or they are deemed not to be in the merit. A little side note here, I won't go too far with this, but Stanford Binet in cognitive and intelligence IQ was used as a standard to say how smart a student was. But we see Howard Gardner in his work with multiple intelligence, that we see that there's actually 8 different IQs that an individual has. And so someone can be a genius in the trades, and that's so that in three of those of the education process. Stop. Right. not familiar with it, but looking at this, I tend to see the that would be for Adam and Jane, if you currently based on the patient, you thought you'd be able to get kind of a rough example of what we do with summer time already and we're adopting. That's not CTE. Did the chair ever talk with an ex that not a CTE or training, but it was just an example of a person's kind of work during time that they were not able to physically capture that? So it would be certainly someone that's working on a job site, it goes beyond the ability to have that extra hour. Is this addressed in a training for a while?
There is a great thought.
Yes, it is. You're directly aware of the bypass.
Shall we show
you? Okay, it seems. Well, I'm looking at my notes from last April, and we had a lot of discussion about this, and I know we need to be brought up to speed after 10 months, but I appreciate that.
I can see that you're doing quite a job down on that now.
Thank you. Next, I have Missy Craig's on the line. Missy, can you hear us?
address your name and affiliation for the record, and go ahead with your testimony. We have, you have 3 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Chair Storey, representative of the city. I am the CC Director for the Anchorage School District. The city is less fortunate to have a wide variety of technical education programs to help with our students have a variety of technical and trade careers. Many of our teachers are industry professionals that have transitioned to the classroom, so many of them have industry certification. They are journeymen and have been in the industry for a long time. The poly CTE programs require that we have trained instructors with industry backgrounds that are looking at our trade careers, and they have the certifications needed to train students for technical careers. But we understand that that was very valuable for all districts. And with HD101, there could be an innovative avenue to support many more school districts than having access high-quality instructors. It is an opportunity to work with organizations in our state who have expertise to bring CPE technical training to our communities. Our students in addition to opening opportunities and encouraging those that don't want Trish and I said about the system of education connecting to workforce they not struggle in her technical education to really build that bridge for the kids' learning. It's not easy to overcome some of the barriers or perceived barriers to having youth participating in workday learning opportunities. And the update about workday learning guide a couple of years ago after that call that they're really great about the ability to provide students with those learning opportunities. They can work with very powerful tools, and that's actually a big deal thing for students. And it's things that really help us in building that connected bridge for students. And we really do embrace our students as part of that continuum of learning from secondary to career. And with that dynamic in Anchorage, our CTE completion graduation rate is 98%. So we know that when students have access to those programs that they're passionate about, they stay engaged and they graduate and they persist after high school. And this is what they're going to be doing. It's some transferable skills that students are learning. We teach them in our classroom. We talk about I
So I think we've heard a presentation from the Brazil Grand Academy. Ms. Reyes, with that, the Executive Order of the School District, the law of your school district, I apologize, I don't remember.
Okay. strength. Next up, we have Larry Ledoux. Larry, can you hear me? Questions for the superintendent? joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Next, I have Anthony Ladd. Ladd, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
All right. Put your name and affiliation on the record. Mr. Ladd, you have 3 minutes to give us your testimony.
Thank you.
much for making the time to be with us today. I appreciate it. All right, next up, we have a high school student, Maggie Catherine. Maggie, can you hear me?
Yes.
Put your name and any information you wish to share with us on the record and go ahead and get your test for the last 3 minutes.
Thank you.
have superintendent Roger Freeman please email your testimony to house.education@lakelands.gov. It would be greatly appreciated. Any questions for Superintendent Roger and your story?
I'm wondering how you fund this program. Is the Carol Perkins money? And again, I realize you have to be creative with funding the instructor. There are some methods I haven't heard about today. But if you could share with me, I'm working with them. This will be our plan.
I'm so sorry. Thank you.
Senior Director, do you have any question or answer? Yes, thank you. Okay, great. Thank you very much. We really appreciate your participation this afternoon.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Let's see. I think that is it.
In some instances, in small communities.
perhaps our SECT program that they may not necessarily have industry standards certification, how would this proposed legislation impact a situation like that?
The two words of Sebastian, that's an excellent question. And what the spot imposed upon the district to have to do the same type of training. So it's not going beyond what they can do. However, as we are a small village with a large backyard, you may hear from several districts that are working with other districts to assist them in helping with those students. And that is a little piece there. But again, it's not imposing that they have to do something that they can't do. So if there are no handrails and choices in the district, in the district or in the school, they don't have to know how someone would be in the student training.
Clarification. If there was, for example, some classes in the construction trades that are currently offered within school districts, were this bill to pass, would it require the teachers currently teaching those classes to have additional certifications if they don't already have them?
The chair is asking that they would have to demonstrate two pieces of good math. Master skill ability, rank 3, in the certification. But to have master skill in that, and the information that they're sharing in the instruction with the curriculum is to some recognized industry standard criteria.
Sorry, I heard two questions there. So let me address the first question again. And if the real kind of addressed that, she
status of the local garage on your bill. Thank you. Thank you.